Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Wednesday, April 24th. Ian Cameron and Alex B. Smith. Wednesday night, NHL Stanley Cup playoff action. Three games tonight in the NHL. We'll get to those in just a moment. First, though, we'll start looking back at Tuesday night, where we had a quartet of NHL games. And pretty much, you know, the majority of them were very entertaining last night. No question about that. We'll start with the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers. You can't nail a game any better from a betting perspective than I did in that game. It was just spectacular. Everything we hoped we would see came to fruition. We had first period over, full game over. So did Alex. I know he was on that as well. And I jumped on both teams' team total over last night in that game. And Washington's all along was the one I was a little bit leery of, a little bit fearful of. But what a price it was. Plus 152. On that Washington team total over 2.5. They get three goals despite the loss to the New York Rangers 4-3 last night. Alex was talking about how, yeah, you could like the Washington team total over, but I'm not sure the Capitals are going to be able to keep the Rangers off the scoreboard. And obviously they were not able to do that. You could see Charlie Lindgren again, you know, has played a lot of intense hockey, a lot of games this year. It's starting to add up for him. He hasn't been on top of it like he was in his dominant efforts down the stretch of the regular season to help Washington get in the playoffs. But, you know, it doesn't have to be pretty at this time of year. I know I was kidding with our resident Rangers fan, John Massey, in our chat saying, you know, Rangers fans, that nothing's easy. You know, they never let anything happen easily. It's a sweat at the end. And look, Capitals did have some good looks. And Shesterkin had to make a couple of saves to preserve the victory, but the Rangers get the win 4-3. It was another very quiet night for the grade eight, Alex Ovechkin, and that is going to have to change. One measly shot on goal in the first two games combined in this series for Alex Ovechkin, so he needs to get things going. Rather than me actually rambling through all the games, we'll go game by game. And Alex, what did you think there, Capitals Rangers?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, you nailed it perfectly with both those calls of the totals. And like I said, Washington, you know, this is a trend definitely worth looking at now, that team losing the first game and going with that team total when it's set at 2.5. But like I said, Ovechkin, you know, being quiet once again is shocking. Now, of course, this has been his worst season of his career. His age is finally starting to show. But usually in the playoffs, we can always kind of count on him. That's where he, you know, elevates and takes a step up, especially in the absence of different injuries and different things. And so seeing him still kind of struggle, it's kind of a microcosm. And I've always said this for years, when he's not playing well or when he's out of the lineup, it's just a different Capitals team. no matter how he's playing at that time of being out of the lineup. And of course, usually we're talking about better numbers from him, but their whole just persona changes when he's not playing well or when he's out of that lineup completely. And that's something that's definitely going to have to change, especially as they get back home to DC for game three.
Yeah, no question about that. Again, 2-0 Rangers. They take the commanding series lead there in that one. Tampa Bay, Florida, an outstanding hockey game. I don't want to call it a bad beat for those that were on the full game over 5.5, and I did have a piece of that. It's not a bad beat. Bad beat was the Islanders in game two against Carroll. That's a bad beat because that's horrendous, that losing every Islander bet, whether it was money line, puck line. That's a bad beat. This is what I call a tough beat. And I learned this from Teddy Covers all these years going back. You have to separate the two. Bad beat is it's like it's stolen from you. Right. Like it's just that bad. This was a tough beat because, you know, bad beat is not like we just got completely robbed of cashing over 5.5. But it was a tough beat because there were more than enough chances for that game to go over 5.5 for the full game. And it was an absolutely phenomenal goaltending display from really both goalies. We do have to tip our cap too, even in a losing effort, to Andre Vasilevsky. He was very good in the game, very strong as well. He was great, but unfortunately, his counterpart, his adversary, his opponent at the other end, Sergei Bobrovsky, was outstanding. He was Dominic Hasek-like last night in that game for the Florida Panthers. The save he made, and obviously all of you have seen it by now, I'm sure of it, the windmill, cartwheel, spinorama, 360-degree whirling dervish save that he made on Matt Dumba last night is one of the great saves I have seen in, dare I say, at all time in the Stanley Cup playoffs, certainly in recent memory in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It was that good. It included athleticism. It included desperation. That's a desperation save where you know that I am out of position. I am not going to be able to do my usual post-to-post movement in the crease to stop this thing. I'm going to have to do something spectacular, something off the charts as far as athleticism to keep this puck out. And somehow he did the 360-degree spin and somehow got a piece of the puck with his arm. And it was just absolutely incredible. I've definitely reposted on Twitter X that clip of that save multiple times. So I've actually gone back and watched it probably like 50 times now already. It was that good. I mean, it was that sensational. And look, it hurt me from a betting standpoint. It hurt me because that save went a long way to giving Florida a chance to get the victory in that game. First overtime game, by the way, of the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. And Mr. Clutch, as Steve Goldstein, Goldie on Ice, said on the Panthers television call of that winning goal, Mr. Clutch, Carter Verhaeghe, man, he scores a bunch of key critical goals for this team. He did it again last night in a 3-2 Florida win. This is the one game of the entire playoffs so far where the game two bet the team total over for the team that lost in game one did not work out. And it only didn't work out because of just some spectacular theatrics, heroics, and incredible performance in net from goalie Bob, Sergei Bobrovsky, last night for the Florida Panthers. A 3-2 Panthers win. They take a 2-0 series lead back to Tampa. Alex, that's a tremendous goaltending display. That was definitely the highlight and the headline storyline from game two of the Battle of Florida last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's playoff hockey at its finest right there. We had, you know, the goals that were scored were quality goals as well, but having both goaltenders, like I said, just the standing on their head all night long, and that Bobrovsky save, definitely the save of his career. Like I said, one of the best playoff saves we've seen in a very long time. That will be replayed and thrown in highlight packages for years and years and years to come. Just absolutely incredible. It's just basically, I look from watching it live, it looked like he almost did a cartwheel. And then when you slow it down, you see that he just kind of turned around and just, like you said, you know, just know that's also awareness too, right? As a goalie, as a veteran goalie, of just knowing that, all right, I got to keep whatever it is in front of me. Even if I'm turning my body, I, you know, still know where to position myself to make that kind of a save. And like I said, Vasilevsky was solid, making some great saves too as well. So even though this is a 2-0 Florida spot right now, which, I mean, it definitely, like I said, hurt me, you know, from a betting standpoint. My series exactas are gone. Had a shot with the dog with Tampa and that loss. But this is not a series that seems to be, you know, a runaway in Florida's favor. This will be a very interesting and pivotal game three, and Tampa could be just as live you know, in the spot right now, especially going back home.
No doubt. Again, not over yet, but you're not out until you lose a game at home. That's what they always say in the playoffs. But a big one, obviously, coming up for Tampa in Game 3. Colorado and Winnipeg, another really good hockey game. And I'll tell you what, it was 1-0 Jets in the first 5 minutes, and we're already thinking, uh-oh, here we go. Colorado's defense, Alexander Georgiev. Is it going to be another shit show of a night for this group, the blue line, and the goaltender collectively? But they got the game back on the rails. They kept it at 1-0. They defended very well in front of Georgiev, blocking shots. A much better defensive effort collectively from the Avs blue line, but also a much better performance from Georgiev himself. No question. He made a couple of very timely saves when it was still 1-0 Jets. It allowed the Avs in the second period to tie that game up. There's nothing he could have done about the second goal. It was an absolute thing of beauty executing on the 2-on-1 by the Winnipeg Jets there. On the go-ahead goal to make it 2-1 there. Connor and Scheifele, phenomenal play there. And then, of course, after that, the Avs got their, you know, stayed at 2-1. Winnipeg had their chances, but the Avs tied it. The Avs took the lead 3-2 again. Lehkonen with the deflection. Parise getting on the board. And then, of course, and by the way, Parise getting on the board, I said, if he's on the top line yesterday on the show, you got to bet him, you know, at that price. There was plus 500s out there with Zach Parise to score a goal last night. As long as he's playing with MacKinnon and Rantanen, there's great value with his props. And he, sure enough, he dents the twine last night. And then the breakaway goal, which was the backbreaker, right at the end of the second period to make it 4-2 Colorado. And it's got to feel good for Josh Manson, who got that breakaway goal. He had a terrible game one. Remember we still remember that giveaway on the Namestnikov goal. He just puts it right on Namestnikov's stick. It was about as bad a giveaway as it gets. What a better game and what a bounce back from him. He was so much better last night. Gets the big goal to make it 4-2. So it's one of those redemption stories you love to see. Maybe you don't love to see it as much, honestly, for me, on our perspective on Winnipeg in the series. But from his perspective, it definitely a redemption type of story for Colorado. And then in the third period, it was a nice, solid road third period for Colorado, bringing that game home. And Georgiev had to make a couple nice saves. And Jared Bednar after the game saying, we all feel for this guy. And the way they just all jumped on Georgiev and, you know, and gave him this big hugs in the dressing room after the win, almost like a rally the troops. And let's win one for the Gipper here. He's had a tough run. Everybody's ripping him left and right. Everyone's criticizing his play. There's no question about that. And for one night, he stepped up. Now he's got to bring it again. You know, you don't want it to be a one-off. The series is only 1-1. There's lots of series left. But that was a step in the right direction for sure for Alexander Georgiev, who did play better last night. The question is going to be, can he continue to build on that in Game 3 and beyond in this series? And one last thing I have to say, I just happened to see a clip of Greg Wyshynski bringing on Steve Valiquette as a guest on his podcast. And sure enough, they were talking about Alexander Georgiev's struggles. Well, wouldn't you know it, what were they talking about with his struggles? The same shit me and especially Alex has been talking about all season long, that they've mismanaged him, they've run him into the ice, they've played him way too much, way too many games, and this is a former NHL goalie, backed up Henrik Lundqvist for a period of time with the New York Rangers many years ago. Steve Valiquette saying, I have no idea why they played him that much this season. Well, wouldn't you fucking know it? It's what we've been saying all season, Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. Said it from literally the beginning of the year when he says they don't really have a backup goalie. As soon as they said Francois is going to be out for the year, and eventually he went on and actually was it 3 days ago retired, we said they got to go out and get somebody. They got to go out and get somebody. Here comes the trade deadline. And he had already had like 35 games when he was named to the All-Star game. Like, That's an unheard of pace in these days anyway. We just kept saying it. They got to get somebody. They got to get somebody. And now here they are. And that's the thing. It's funny because you've seen all these people, like I said, ripping him for his bad play. And, you know, I've seen some, you know, clips in a couple of articles they were talking about saying, you know, the resurgence of Georgiev. It wasn't like this man's going through a slump. This guy's been playing fantastic hockey all year long. It's just that that's the difference between, oh, a guy who's struggling and then trying to get back in the form. And what's going on now is that he's just played too much hockey. That's the big difference. So, yes, he can step up for a game like last night where he made some big saves, but the team was playing better in front of him defensively. If the team's not playing that well in front of him defensively in Game 3, and he still has to make a ton of big time saves. Eventually, that dam's going to burst, and we're going to start to see Winnipeg scoring goals again. So the thing is, you're asking for two things to be perfect right now when you have a situation where those two issues have been slumping. That's still not a good position to be in, even with evening up the series.
Like I say, though, the good news is, well, we're on Winnipeg to win the series, so that we get hurt a little bit by the loss last night. Six games and seven games series, which I have bets on both of those. Yeah. The only two series I have 6-7 games, I did the 6-7 game split, was this series in Toronto-Boston, just those two. So far, we're off to decent starts with those two. I almost did it with Tampa-Florida, but I was also worried about Florida maybe winning in five. That kind of thing, which obviously now could definitely still happen because they're up.
And that's the thing. And I'm glad I went and laddered that as well, because even though my series exactors are done, I have Florida in five, Florida in six, Tampa in seven. So I still have all that in one.
Yeah, no doubt. And the last game last night, of course, was Nashville-Vancouver. I get to say it, pretty predictable. I figured it was going to be a tough spot for Vancouver, especially with Casey DeSmith just finding out like earlier in the day that, whoa, Demko's out. He's not playing, and he may not be back in this series. Whoa, this is on me now to be the starting goaltender for the Canucks. Ah, man, I feel so bad for him, and I feel so bad for the fans. The fans did a great thing at the beginning of that game. Let's go, Casey, and, you know, trying to get his confidence up. And just in the middle of that great Let's Go, Casey chant, trying to get him into the game, feeling good, great support, you know, rallying behind the goalie, you know, with Demko out. And the fucking first shot on net goes in against him. As they're chanting, "Let's go, Casey." I mean, it's just, that's painful to watch it. No, I'm not overly painful. Someone that had Nashville team total over, and Alex did as well. But from a they did the right thing. Great fans to actually chant that, "Alex, let's go, Casey, let's go, Casey." And just in the middle of that chant ramping up, pucks in the back of the net, 1-0 Nashville, 1 minute in. Brutal.
Yeah, that's tough. But like you said, that's a good, solid, knowledgeable fan base in Vancouver. They weren't being rough on him, you know, leading up to the game or anything like that. They knew the situation. All right, we don't have Demko. He's the guy to stand up next. And so they did their part in that. But like you said, Nashville had a little too much energy right out of the gate there, though.
And they pretty much, you know, were in control most of the game. I'll say this, though. Vancouver had a strong push in the second period when they were down 3-0. And look, DeSmith's got to pick it up. He does. Because the third goal in particular, that's a horrible rebound. It was a brutal rebound to give up. And 3-0 Nashville. Forsberg had a great game. He had an assist on the Beauvillier goal. He had the goal himself. Two-point night for Philip Forsberg. And 3-0 looked like it was done. But Vancouver made it 3-1. And then when it was 3-1 down the stretch of the second, Vancouver was just all over Nashville. Yep. And it had to be a couple of phenomenal saves from UC Saros. He was terrific last night in that game. He actually only faced fewer than 20 shots, but it seemed like of the 18 Vancouver shots, a lot of them were good quality. And he had to make a couple of really good saves. But Nashville, thanks to their goalie, kept Vancouver off the scoreboard in the third period, kept them at bay, and ended up with the 4-1 victory over the Vancouver Canucks. And like I said, the Demko is that good and that important, and there is that much of a drop-off from him to DeSmith. And this is not that DeSmith sucks. It's that you go from DeSmith, who's okay, from a goalie that's phenomenal when he's on top of his game, and Thatcher Demko. It's not so much that DeSmith's bad. It's just that he's okay, and Demko is really, 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 really good, and that leads to a bigger gap, you know, between the two. So a 1-1 series going back to Music City, Alex.
Yeah, Vancouver's in trouble. Simply put, it, they won't get Demko back the rest of the series, and so they need miracle from DeSmith. He's got to steal them a game in Nashville. And if you thought Vancouver's crowd was going to be crazy, that crowd at Bridgestone Arena, now that this series is even, is going to be absolutely just the roof's going to be blown off that place at the beginning of that game. That's definitely a spot I can tell you now. I'll be looking at first period over for sure. I think we get a tremendous back and forth pace with that kind of energy rolling around the building, but DeSmith's going to have to be ready for it. And if he's not, this thing could get out of hand, not just in game three, but just the series altogether with those two games in Nashville. If you like Nashville right now, I saw -105, -110. You might want to run and grab that, because that price will be long gone if Nashville can take care of business in game three the same way they did in game two.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a big everyone. And look, Elias Pettersson, I've heard it. I've actually had someone reach out via DM and say, Ian, be careful. I think he might be hurt. That's why he's playing like this. But regardless of hurt or not, Elias Pettersson's got to be better. If he's playing, he's obviously feeling good enough with whatever injury he's dealing with to play, okay, here in this series. And if he's going to play, he's got to be effective. And he's not effective right now. He's been ineffective. He had a wide open net. I have no idea how he missed that last night, by the way, that wide open net that he had right at the end of the first period. I think he's feeling it, you know, that also there's pressure and he knows he has to be better. I love that he acknowledged it, though. He didn't run from it. He didn't hide from it. He had answered the media last night after the game, and he said, I have to be better for my hockey team. And he acknowledged it, credit to him. But now it's got to about going out there and getting the job done. It's nice that you know about it, that you're not playing well. It's nice that you've acknowledged it and you know you have to be better. But at the end of the day, it's a results-oriented Stanley Cup playoffs. Got to go out there and play better and get it done. And that's going to be what's needed and required out of Elias Pettersson, especially now. Because, look, you're going to have to score more goals now. Casey DeSmith's not going to shut Nashville down to two goals or less every game in this series like Thatcher Demko's capable of. So from that standpoint, you need your offensive guns firing, something other than blanks. And that includes Elias Pettersson right now. So he's got to get his act in gear in Game 3 and beyond, and we'll see if he can get things going for the Vancouver Canucks. All right, Wednesday night slate, three games, not four tonight, on the slate. We'll begin with the Bruins and Leafs. It's the only early game tonight taking place. Even money, pretty much, minus 110 both sides. The total six here, shaded to the under. Series tied, of course, 1-1. This feels like a zigzag theory series to me. Where team off a loss makes adjustments and rebounds. And it's not like Toronto's got this ultra strong, powerful, raucous home ice advantage either, you know, at Scotiabank Arena. So this is a Bruins or pass spot for me. The question is, how do I want to go about it here in this game? And I went with something a little bit different here tonight, because I do think the Bruins, and the Bruins are a team that they know when they play bad, and they know when they played they got outplayed. And if you look at that game last or on Monday night, game two, that was a Leaf team that their best players were better than Boston's best players, especially Austin Matthews, who had an outstanding game. I think the best game he's ever played in the playoffs for the Toronto Maple Leafs, a goal and two assists. And it was a pretty quiet night from the Marchand group, overall. And especially as that game went on, they were not very noticeable. As that game went on. So their best players have to be better for sure going into this game tonight. The big mystery, of course, the William Nylander watch continues. I'm already ready for the William Nylander watch to be over, if I'm being quite honest. But it looks like he was on the ice again, but once again, he was staying on the ice after everyone went back to the dressing room. So it's kind of like that makes it seem like he's going to miss a third straight game in this series. But then Sheldon Keefe spoke to the media not long after that and said there's still a possibility, still a chance for him to play tonight. So let's just wait until 6:30 Eastern. Line rushes, pregame skate takes place before we really find out if he plays. There was a scare, too, that, whoa, all of a sudden Austin Matthews was not present at the morning skate. And people thinking, oh, did he get hurt last game? But no, he was just resting. It's all good. He will play tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that's all. That's the key news there. Of course, Ilya Samsonov back in net for Toronto. The goalie rotation continues for Jim Montgomery. So back to Jeremy Swayman, who got the win in game one and who won every start this season during the regular season against the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. Now this is going to be the interesting dilemma here. Jim Montgomery's been hell-bent on keeping the goalie rotation going. Swayman one game, Allmark the next. Well, and not Allmark's fault either. He played great in game two, but it was still a loss. What if Swayman wins tonight again, his second win in the series? I mean, that's not going to be easy to keep that rotation going if it's a second straight Jeremy Swayman win tonight in this series for him starting. So that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I did something a little interesting here with this game. Something a little different. It's minus 135, same game parlay. Boston team total over 2.5, and the full game over 4.5. So a little something different here. A same game parlay, I'll repeat it. Boston team total over 2.5, full game over 4.5. Every Bruins Leafs game this season, regular season and playoffs, at least 5 goals, every single one. So that's why I decided, you know what, rather than make it an over 5.5 in the SGP, let's drop it down a little bit, over 4.5, minus 135 at Bet365. I think that's a really good approach. I think the Bruins, again, and this angle too, with the team off a loss in the previous game, bet their team total over the next game. That's my favorite look in this game right there. I'm going to sprinkle on the over bifecta, a little sprinkle too on the Bruins money line. But what I like the most here is what I just mentioned, that SGP. Team total over 2.5 Bruins, and also the full game over 4.5, minus 135. Good price, actually. You know, I don't mind laying a price like that, minus 135, when I feel I've really got the numbers in my favor now with Bruins team total over 2.5, full game over 4.5. And like I said, every Leaf Bruins game this year, regular season and playoffs, have seen at least 5 goals in the game. Alex, what do you think here? Bruins Leafs game 3.
Yeah, that's a great look and a fantastic price, because if you would just play over 4.5, which that is widely available as an alternate total, you're laying 350. So to knock that down to minus 135 and tie it in with your Bruins team total, that's a fantastic look. I might tail that out to shop around to find that particular play, but definitely a good look here. And 5 makes sense. 4.5, 5 makes sense. The 6 just seems a little too high. I don't think we're going to have a big breakout in this game. I think that's going to kind of be the same style and cadence of play that we've seen before. I like first period over, but we've also seen that kind of fall to the wayside in a few games. So we'll have an opportunity to grab that live at plus money. There's no reason to lay even $1.15, $1.20 right now. We will have at least 1 to 2 minutes in my belief that we can get to that first period over. But definitely should expect, if there's going to be any noise effect, crowd effect in this game, it's going to be early, right? Because Boston scores the first goal, that might take the crowd right out of it. But at least as soon as puck drop starts, that's where the Leafs fans, that crowd should be at its loudest point. And then, you know, you can kind of adjust and things from there. But that's kind of the way I'm probably going to play this. I'm going to tail your same game parlay look. And I'm going to look for first period over in game. The only thing I have pregame is the draw. I did grab plus 350 at FanDuel. Please shop around for that, because I'm seeing some wide variance of numbers. I've seen plus 280s and 290s at a few other shops. So get the 350 at FanDuel. I've seen a 325 at Bet Online. I think this one can be tight enough to where we see this one go past 60 minutes.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna sprinkle on the draw too. I feel this is a very, very tight. Look, we almost got there the other night, obviously with overtime between these two teams. I feel like this series is ready for an overtime game, especially with the switch of venue. You know, it's a bit of a swing point in the series, 2-1 for somebody. You know, you're halfway home to winning the series, whoever wins this game tonight. So definitely the draw. I agree with it. I think this is actually the one game tonight of the three that are taking place where I think the draw is the best shot. This is the game that's worth the best shot to take the draw, you know, as far as I'm concerned. So I like that look as well. The draw worth a look here. I had to go back and look, because we know this is not the greatest home ice in the NHL. It doesn't compare to Carolina. It doesn't compare to Winnipeg. It doesn't compare to a lot of the other venues where it's just loud as fuck. Start to finish, we know. Now, I do think the crowd does ramp it up a little bit in the playoffs, Scotiabank Arena. They're definitely not like church-level quiet like they are during the regular season, especially during the week. But it's still not raucous like, you know, a lot of the buildings in the playoffs in the NHL. And I had to go back and look, Alex, what is this Leaf record in the playoffs at home? It's in the last 17 games, it's 5-12. It's not very good, unfortunately. Yeah.
And here's the thing about their home ice. Like I said, I mentioned it just earlier. When you score early as a road team in Toronto, you can take the wind right out of that crowd right away, because of all that organization, it's the fans that really drive the narrative of, oh, shit, here we go again. Another, you know, another bad game, another series loss, another playoff choke. So they're the ones that are easily rattled. The players can weather the storm a little bit better. The staff can weather the storm a little bit better. But the fans, you can really take the energy level down a lot if you're a road team and you get a goal early or a big hit early or momentum swinging your way. So that's the key to looking at the home ice with Toronto as compared to other teams that are in the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. It's true. No, I don't hate Toronto, Cap Friendly. I don't hate. I was on Toronto the other night. I was on their team totals. Scored the goal. I think Toronto can win this series. I put Toronto in my bracket. How can I hate Toronto? I put Toronto in my bracket to win this series, but I don't love them in this particular spot tonight. I think Boston wins tonight, and if Boston wins tonight, if I'm wrong, I mean we'll reevaluate and we'll pivot. But if Boston, I think, wins tonight, if they win tonight, I'll probably be on Toronto in game four of this series because I think it's got that zigzag element to it. You got teams that are available, capable of adjusting. Boston's been a good adjustment off a loss team all year and going back years. And I was impressed with Sheldon Keefe and his coaching staff's adjustments in game two, quite honestly, with the way they shifted the lines around as that game went on. There's no question, but like I said, I think this is a zigzag theory series. I think it's that close between these two teams. So it's why I like Boston tonight more than Toronto. And it's why if Boston wins tonight, I'm probably going to look Leafs in game four. I think it's going to be that kind of series when it's all said and done. And as far as the props go tonight, I'm just stubborn when it comes to Bertuzzi. But, man, the guy's had chances. So we're going to I don't want to be not betting it, getting off the express when it comes to Tyler Bertuzzi and then him scoring and I'm not on it. So we're basically lock, stock and barrel again with Tyler Bertuzzi. Max Domi, you got to look toward him in some kind, especially assist and point specifically. This being on home ice might mean now, because I've been waiting for Matthew Nyes and Nick Robertson, those two guys to make an offensive impact here in this series. Now back on home ice, last line change now for Keith, maybe a more greater opportunity to get good matchups. Good line matchups for Robertson and for Nyes. So keep an eye on that. We'll see if that comes to fruition. If those two young kids who've got good offensive upside can get going offensively here tonight for the Leafs. And then for Boston, you know, DeBrusk's had a good track, especially in Toronto. DeBrusk's had a good track record of scoring against the Leafs. Danton Heinen looks to be on the top line with Zacha and Pasternak. A little bit of a shift tonight for Jim Montgomery. So there's some good value there. Danton Heinen playing alongside Zacha and Pasternak tonight for the Boston Bruins. And we've talked about Danton Heinen throughout the year, that he's been a sneaky player prop. He's cashed some big plus price numbers to find the back of the net in certain games. And certainly he could be a little bit live tonight with that bump up to the top line. Apparently we have some breaking news here. David Quinn fired as head coach of the San Jose Sharks. I'm surprised they waited this long.
Me too.
You know, a good solid, you know, week or so at least after the regular season ended. They didn't say it like a day or two after. They let him dangle in the wind here for a week, and all of a sudden now they've decided to announce that he's fired. That's just a job right now where the head coach is set up to fail. I mean, they've just got such a big rebuild ahead of them. They have a very thin cupboard of prospects. They've got to replenish that prospect pool once again. San Jose, and I don't know what coach is going to be made to have success or set up to have success with the situation that franchise is in right now. So, and unfortunately, maybe there was an incident behind the scenes. Maybe there was just so many ugly losses this year that they just said, you know what, we can't save face and look ourselves in the mirror and bring David Quinn back because there were not just one. There were about 10 or 12 ugly, pathetic losses. You know, 7-1 type losses, 8-1 type losses that San Jose suffered. And they said, we at least, if we're going to suck and we're going to lose games, we can't be blown out like 12 times by scores like that. And maybe that reflected negatively on David Quinn to the point where Mike Greer made this change. But I don't know what coach, Alex, right now is going to be in a position to have success immediately with this franchise.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, he was brought in to kind of steer the ship as far as his rebuild, knowing that there were going to be developing young players and going through the lumps and bumps of having this rebuild. So, like I said, for them to fire him, and it's not right away at the end of the season, but they waited a little bit later, makes me believe maybe there was either some kind of incident at some point, or they have some other coach in line that they're looking at, and they just went on and made this change now. So we could be hearing of, and we're talking about this on the BetCast, about some other coaches that could be, you know, swirling around, going different places. Maybe they're going to be making a splash for a coach. And this is just kind of the lead-in spot to that. So definitely something to kind of keep an ear out for, especially with San Jose having a 25% chance to get the number one overall pick. If they can land Mac Letellabrini and then they find a coach that can work with him, that's something to definitely keep note on.
That's a speed up the rebuild. I don't know about speed up to warp speed, but it's going to speed it up at least a little bit if they are able to land Macklin Celebrini as the first overall pick. And, of course, they've got the best shot to get him.
You know, it'd be an interesting name. And you know, he's getting closer to – I don't know if he's officially reinstated yet, but a Joel Quenneville. I mean, he needs a rebirth as a coach, and that team – then that
he's ready. He said it on multiple interviews lately. Yep, that he's ready. He's ready to get back into it.
So it's something to check out for sure.
Yep, no question. All right, next game. It is game three as well game two, rather, Vegas and Dallas. Next up, game two of this series. It's game three, Boston-Toronto. The other series are only in game two. Vegas leading this series 1-0. We've got Dallas minus 160 to minus 165 as home favorites here. The total six pretty much across the board, shaded to the under slightly. I mean, this feels like you're paying a premium on Dallas here with the full game money line. The premium of them, you know, having obviously coming into this series, thinking they had the better team. But Vegas is now a much better team with the full roster. And we saw that the other night with Mark Stone back. We're not going to talk about just the how it's just – all of a sudden, it just worked out perfectly. He's ready for game one. We've been through that. But the fact is, with Petrangelo and Stone and all their forwards healthy, their blue line pretty much healthy, although Nick Hague has shown up on the injury report, and it's looks like he's not going to play tonight. So just as that blue line got healthy for Vegas, looks like Nicholas Hague is out. But what an embarrassment of riches, Alex. Nick Hague out. Guess who you put in? Only a multiple-time Stanley Cup champion, a veteran defenseman, knows his way around the block, Alec Martinez. We're putting in an AHL kid with very little playoff experience in there. That's the embarrassment of riches that the Vegas Golden Knights have, you know, on their blue line right now, that they Nick Hague's out for injury, and they put an Alec Martinez in there here tonight in this game. So to me, if you're Dallas, if you're going to win this game, it has to be with a good start. It can't be one of these deals where you're giving up a goal 2 minutes into the game and you're falling behind 2-0 in the first 10 minutes like you did in game one. It has to be a game where you have that strong start and you play from ahead, not play from behind, and really start to put the pressure on Vegas a little bit, and specifically Logan Thompson. I know they won that game, but Logan Thompson looked shaky at times, and that one goal he gave up to Marchment, that shot along the boards, that was horrendous. He's got to have that. So I think if you're Dallas, you got to get more shots toward the net. They did shoot the puck, but I think they got to get more quality in their chances, and they have to be ready from the opening puck drop. Can't take a penalty 1 minute into the game. That doesn't set the tone on home ice, and you can't fall behind 2-0 on home ice right away like that. So to me, the onus has to be Dallas starting stronger. It seems like they realize that multiple Dallas players have said since game one, after the game yesterday on the off day, that the start really was problematic. So I'm targeting Dallas in the first period, but I don't want the puck line because I am concerned about, you know, these slow starts of theirs. I want to focus on them offensively, getting it rolling early, because I don't want to be sitting there. Dallas is up 1-0 in the first period, Alex, and it's looking good on the puck line. And whoop, there's Vegas tying it up with 2 minutes left in the first. Puck line goes to the incinerator. I don't want that. And that's why when I like a team early in the game, more often than not now I'm going team total route, you know, as opposed to the puck line route. So at BetMGM, I'm going with the Dallas team total over 1/1.5 split with their team total. Over 1 plus 140, over 1.5 plus 250 for Dallas first period team totals. This has been a good angle for me. This has worked out well for me. A lot of the times I've been riding with these first period team totals, you know, it's gone quite well more often than not. So that's the best approach for me to take Dallas here, is that first period over 1.5 split going into this game. Now, this is another team off a loss, Alex. And usually we like the full game team total as well, but it's 3.5, not 2.5 with Dallas. So it's a little bit different at 3.5. I'd love it even more at 2.5 here in this one. Oh, one of our good friends is in the chat here. Razor Sharp Picks from Pub Sports Radio. It's one of the best horse racing bettors you'll ever meet as well. So make sure you tune in. He does horse racing streams multiple times, I believe, throughout the week. So check him out, Razor Sharp Picks. He dabbles in the hockey as well, especially at playoff time. He likes first period over. So there we go. I wouldn't argue with that at all. I do like full game over here as well, over six. This is another one, too, where in addition to the first period, team total looks with Dallas, the full game over by itself. I did another same game parlay here. This one, Dallas team total over 2.5, and Dallas and the game over 5.5 at plus 100. So again, we get the full game total down to 5.5. 4.5, I think it was minus 170. So I didn't want to lay that much, but 5.5 plus 100 to go with the Dallas team total over 2.5, because I'd rather take the Dallas team total for the game at 2.5 as opposed to 3.5. So it's another SGP game for me as well. Stars team total over 2.5 plus full game over 5.5. Plus 100. Alex, game two here, Golden Knights Stars.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're on the same kind of plane as far as looking at Dallas to jump out early. They have to. And I'm going to tailor your look with the team total over 1.5, but I do have puck line because you have to come out of this period, this first period, with a lead. Like you said, it can't even be tied. If it's a 1-1, 2-2 period, that still gives a ton of ammo and a ton of momentum towards Vegas. Because they know that they can compete with this Dallas team in a boat race on the road. They're not fazed by the crowd. They're not fazed by anything with this team. They feel like they kind of have this team almost in their pocket, so to speak. So if you let them get that momentum early in the first 20 minutes, this is going to be troublesome for Dallas. So I'll be looking at some live looks as well. First period over is solid. Minus $1.20, this is one of those where maybe grab some of it early, add on a little bit more into the game where you can grab plus money. I definitely do think we see two goals, but it should be from Dallas. This should be Dallas playing, not necessarily game seven level pace, but damn near close to elimination style pace. And that's what you need from this Stars team. That crowd's going to be hyped up. Once again, can't let the crowd down. Need that energy back and behind you. They need to get the first goal of the game as well. I don't know if I'll be betting that, but definitely looking at first period overlooks. Team total over 1.5. And I got plus 165 as well with that first period puck line. That number has kind of gone down a bit. So if you're seeing anything cheaper than, say, $1.40, I would say pass on the puck line. But if you see a 150 to 160, 165, then lay the half goal with Dallas in the first period.
Yeah, no question. So it's going to be a great game tonight. Looking forward to that. Jamie Benn props, number one option right now. I thought he still played pretty good in game one, even though Dallas lost. Wyatt Johnston, anyone on that line I'm interested in as far as player props are concerned. Mason Marchment's been a good playoff performer in the past as well, big time last year in the run to the Western Conference Final. Weak sauce goal by Logan Thompson. It was, but he still scored, Mason Marchment. So he'd be someone I'm interested in as far as props go. Is our buddy John Masserol just picking up right where he left off, Jonathan Marchessault from last year with that brilliant Stanley Cup playoff run. And he scores, of course, in the first game as well. So he seems to be a prudent playoff performer. Mark
I think Ian's computer froze. He'll probably be popping back in. But kind of looking at, I'm actually looking at a possible goal scorer prop in this game that will be for my bargain bin a little bit later on.
So. I was just saying, yeah, Mark Stone with the first goal of the series as well the other night. You know, it's these are the times of year where, you know, it's hard. Just you don't want to reinvent the wheel and maybe take a reach for someone that you're just not used to seeing find the back of the net. You'd really want to just look at the players that you really trust to perform at this time of year. And those would be definitely the players. Yeah. Johnny Masserol, that never gets old, calling him that with the Don Cherry name butchering, just all time hilarity. No question about that. Noah Hanifin, by the way, goose like that on the BetCast the other night, Hanifin power play point, and it cashed right away. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if you cashed with it in game one, I don't think it's the necessarily the worst idea, the worst decision in the world to come back with it here tonight in game two of this series as well. I'm also going to go a same game point parlay here for the Dallas Stars. Keeping it simple, Marchment, Ben, and Johnston. Those three guys, Marchment, Ben, Johnston for the Dallas Stars, just to get a point. You get plus money with it. I think that's got a good chance here in a game that's very important for Dallas. Now, Matt's a big Dallas fan, of course, Matt Robinson. He told me, I'm not even panicking yet if Dallas loses tonight because they have been a great road team this year. And that is true. They have been a great road team. There's a scenario where Dallas loses tonight 2-0, and we're coming back to Dallas for game 5 2-2. They could win 2 in Vegas. It's not without the realm of possibility. And Vegas hasn't been nearly as good on home ice this year as they've been in years past. But obviously, look, we'd still rather, if you're Dallas and a fan of theirs and someone that's on them in the series like we are, would rather see them go back to Vegas with a split 1-1 rather than down 2-0, clearly. You're right. I'm not totally saying series. I'm not one of those people that's going to say series over if they lose tonight. It would be difficult. It would be a lot tougher road for Dallas if they lose tonight. But I wouldn't be at that point yet if they lose tonight where it's over. Not yet.
They're in deep shit if they lose tonight.
I'm not saying they're totally done. Yeah. It would be difficult. I think it's still very important they win this game tonight, no question. All right, final game of this Wednesday night slate, L.A. versus Edmonton, game 2. We've got Edmonton minus 190 home favorites here in this game, 6 being the total here in this matchup. I mean, for L.A., that was just a game where you looked slow. You looked like you just did not have the speed, and you just did not have the defensive structure required to contain Edmonton's big guns. That's what it looked like right from the beginning. They looked like they had a hard time. Edmonton's just – when Edmonton in the offensive zone gets their legs going and they get whipping the puck around in the offensive zone and LA's got heads on swivels, the Kings looked noticeably like a team that had a hard time keeping up with all of it. I mean, running out of position, and you got to give the Oilers credit, you know, for keeping them out of position in that game. But, you know, LA is going to have to shore things up big time, as will Cam Talbot as well in net, you know, if they're going to make this a competitive series, because that was ugly. And I know Edmonton kind of fell asleep late in the third, and LA made that final score closer. Really, for most of the game, the Oilers were in control. They couldn't contain McDavid, they couldn't contain Draisaitl, and they certainly couldn't contain the hat trick man, Zach Hyman, who had an absolutely outstanding game for the Edmonton Oilers in that victory. We'll see how they fare here in this one tonight. For the LA Kings, you have to come out better than you did in the first period. It's vital. You know, you can't have that kind of start in the first period and expect to win this series. So, and again, we've got the situation here with the team that's down in the series. They need a better effort. I'm going to do a team total split on the Kings tonight. I don't want the money line. I don't trust them to win the game. But you can get minus 135 at BetMGM for the Kings to score in the first period. Just one goal. You got to think if the Kings are going to show up, it's early after the game one debacle. So I'm going to dabble with that. The team total over 2.5 here is reasonable, minus 115, again, for a team that, lost in game one. And let's not forget, Alex, even in the loss, as bad as things were for the Kings, they did score 4 goals still, you know, in that game. So just asking them to score 3, I think, is good. And this is definitely, I think the Kings have a response tonight, but I don't trust them to win the game. That's crazy, weird to say that. I think they respond tonight, but I don't trust them to win the game because I don't know if defensively they will shut Edmonton down, but I do think they can get to 3 goals because we did see them still get to 4 the other night. A little more urgency from the Kings tonight in this game, and I like the angle of them scoring in the first period, minus 135, and a reasonable team total over 2.5. And again, these over 2.5s with the team that lost the previous game, the Leafs, the Islanders cashed, and it was 2-1 last night. Washington cashed, Nashville cashed. The only one that lost, Alex, was Tampa. And it was because of just this all-world performance in net by Sergei Bobrovsky. Otherwise, they easily could have gotten 3 goals in that game. So we're almost looking at perfection with this angle, with this betting angle in the playoffs. You bet the team total, especially when it's over 2.5 for the team that lost the previous game. It's been a very, very good angle so far here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's hope it's good again here tonight with the Kings and the Oilers. I like the full game over too, but I'm kind of thinking just keep it small pregame and wait for, you know, a little bit better number and at least to get closer to like minus 110 or plus 100 or something like that with over 5.5 in game is my thought process with that. What do you think here, Alex? Game two, Kings Oilers.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a good live game. One thing I did bet pregame, and it's available at FanDuel and a couple other books, but both teams to score in the second period, I got plus 126. I just wanted to have that in pocket now. I think that we'll see this game, regardless of what happened in the first, I think we would definitely see play open up more in the second period in this contest. So that kind of also leads to maybe looking at a full game over in that spot as well. And like I said, if the Kings can jump out early, get a goal, and kind of get momentum going their way, now we'll have a chance to maybe get Edmonton at a cheaper price or hopefully a plus price, and they'll be able to kind of bounce back. So this is definitely just one I have circled for live action, but I did already bet both teams to score in the second period, plus 126 at FanDuel.
Look, if Edmonton's just too fast for them, too skilled, too talented, too fucking good offensively, so be it. And if LA gets run out of the building tonight, so be it. But I'm willing to say, especially first period scoring a goal and them scoring three for the game, rely on the experience and the cup mentality and the passion to win of a Drew Doughty and an Andre Kopitar in a game like this and a Philip Deneau that went to the Stanley Cup final with Montreal, a few years ago coming out of the pandemic against Tampa Bay. Of course, we remember that. These are guys that have pride, okay? Pride to win at this time of year. Not going to roll over without a fight. And like I said, Edmonton is still at times, especially after a great game, flighty enough to let a team back into it. So that's why I'm going with that approach, though. But no money line, not at all, because I am worried about that Edmonton. And I'm worried about Talbot, I got to admit. Worried about Cam Talbot a little bit. So it's all team total for the approach to back the Kings tonight.
From a serious standpoint, now would be the time, obviously, to grab maybe Oilers to sweep. I saw plus 500. Oilers 4-1 plus 375, because if they do, like I said, if they bring the same kind of effort and pace and run LA out of game two, who's to say LA gets a win at home? Remember how bad they were at the beginning of the year at home, and then all of a sudden they became this great home team? What's that crowd atmosphere going to be like, and will Edmonton be fazed by that? So if you like Edmonton in the series and you don't have those two things, now would be the time to grab either one of those in pocket. Because those prices will be gone if Edmonton can take care of business again. So,
yeah, no doubt. So it should be interesting to see. That's how the Kings respond tonight in game two. As far as props go, like I say, Kopitar, Kempe, is a playoff performer. Trevor Moore, Fiala, those are the guys I'd really focus on. Byfield, too. I think Byfield was solid in game one, I thought. He was noticeable. He was going to the net, which is what he asked to do. My favorite props for the Oilers, obviously McDavid and Draisaitl, every public NHL bettor is going to take their props, especially, and Hyman too. And look, Hyman's on a roll. I don't think he's going to get a hat trick again, but it's hard to say, yeah, don't bet Zach Hyman right now to do something in a game. But for me, the value with Edmonton is Adam Henrique, as long as he plays with Connor McDavid on the top line to get a goal, to get an assist, to get a point, to go over 1.5 points, I think is worth a look for Adam Henrique, because he plays with the best player, one of the best players in the world and best player on the team. He could almost score a goal and get 2 points by accident when you play with Connor McDavid. And he's a good player, Adam Henrique, offense, better offensively than you think. He's good at both ends of the ice. And the other is Warren Fogle. Warren Fogle just seems to continue to make things happen as well for the Edmonton Oilers. So he's usually undervalued as well as far as props go. Dylan Holloway. Yeah, Dylan Holloway was a little quiet in game one, Cuban, but if he gets going, it wouldn't shock me. He did have a good finish to the regular season. Bouchard over 1.5 points. Rocco is very good as well. It seems like he's in on a lot of what Edmonton does in the playoffs as far as scoring is concerned. You look at last year, how many times did Evan Bouchard, litter the score sheet, whether it was goals and especially assists? How many times? So asking him to get 2 points in a game, and especially if it's north of plus 300, like it is not asking for too much. So it's a good prop game. A lot of good props to consider there when it comes to Kings Oilers game two. All right, great stuff. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. And a reminder, of course, next Ice Guys Stanley Cup playoff live betcast comes your way tomorrow night. And it is a Patreon exclusive, a live betcast taking place tomorrow night, Thursday, April 25th. And then we're back on Tuesday, April 30th. So two more betcasts here in April, but they're both Patreon exclusive. So the only way to tune in and the only way to join us live during those two live betcasts is joining us as a member on the Patreon Ice Guys page, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. You'll have access to our Patreon exclusive live betcasts. Of course, there you'll get our daily sides, totals, and player props posted on the page each and every day before puck drop, bonus content, goalie charts, totals charts, and more. Access to our summer players suite interview series, which will be returning in the off season. Plus, of course, at this time of year, all the Patreon exclusive live betcasts. You will have your VIP ticket to join us for those betcasts. So again, just $10 per month. Sign up and subscribe, patreon.com/iceguys, and be there with us tomorrow night as a Patreon member for our Patreon exclusive Stanley Cup playoff live betcast. And of course, check out the Ice Guys store as well. Get your gear and your merch over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yes, we got everything fully in stock right now. And I think we got a coupon code coming up this week as well. So shop around, figure out what things you want, and wait for that code to drop and get a little bit of a discount there that's available right now at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, there you go. Check it out. All right, we will be back with Bargain Bin Special of the Night and Best Bets coming up in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsors, our good friends at Boston Hemp, Inc.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. 20% off all orders on the site using the promo code ICEGUYS at BostonHempInc.com. All right, Bargain Bin Special of the Night. And I forgot to mention this yesterday, but Monday night, Brett Skalski cashed his Bargain Bin Special of the Night, which was Warren Fogle for the Edmonton Oilers to score a goal. So Bargain Bin Special winner there for Brett a couple of nights ago. Great to see that. We got three games to choose from tonight, Alex. What do you like in the Bargain Bin?
Yeah, we head down to Big D, got Vegas and Dallas. He said this is a pivotal game for the Stars, and they need the top guys to show up. And who better to show up in a playoff spot when you need him the most than Joe Pavelski? Playoff Joe. Just been old, reliable playoff Joe for years and years. And you can get his over 1.5 points. Plus 340 is available at FanDuel. I see a plus 300 at PointsBet. I think he's going to have to be the catalyst, whether it's he's scoring goals or getting assists, but he's going to have to be part of that offensive motion if Dallas wants to even this series up before they head to Vegas. So give me Joe Pavelski over 1.5 goals, plus 340 for the Dallas Stars. That is my Bargain Bin Special for tonight.
Joe Pavelski for the Dallas Stars, where years past his best work has come at Stanley Cup playoff time. We'll see if he can find the back of the net tonight for the Dallas Stars. That is Alex B. Smith's Bargain Bin Special of the Night. My Bargain Bin Special of the Night, I actually mentioned it just a moment ago in the last game. Adam Henrique, also known as Rico, that's his nickname, plus 390 at BetMGM for him to score a goal. I'm stunned at the price. Playing with McDavid on the top line, I'm flat out stunned by the price, especially with the performance level we saw from Adam Henrique down the stretch of the regular season. So, and of course, scoring in game one as well. Adam Henrique, Edmonton Oilers, plus 390. Again, at BetMGM, just an outstanding price, plus 370 at FanDuel. So very good prices there for Adam Henrique. That is going to be my bargain bin special of the night for this Wednesday slate. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, back with that Dallas game against Vegas. The crowd's going to be rocking and rolling at the start. They need to be rocking and rolling by the end of that period as well. And the way you do that is getting out of there with a lead. Give me the Dallas Stars laying the puck line to lane a half. Plus 158, the best price I'm seeing available. That's at Caesars. Like I said, there's some 160s floating around at some other books as well. But anything plus 155 or higher is a good spot. Dallas has to get out to a good start. And you have to win this first period. So Stars, first period puck line, minus a half. Plus 158, that is my best bet.
All right, there you go. Dallas, Stars, first period puck line for Alex B. Smith with his best bet against Vegas. My best bet, something a little different here today for best bet. We're going to go back to the game we just talked about, LA and Edmonton. I really like the Kings to score in the opening period. Keeping it simple, respond from a terrible game one, especially a brutal start to game one for the LA Kings against Edmonton. A lot of pride in that locker room, cup winners in that locker room and dressing room for the Kings. And I expect a good start, and I expect them to find the back of the net and turn that red light on in the first period. Minus 135 at BetMGM, Kings to score a goal in the first period, or over 0.5 goals, minus 135, whatever you want to call it. Kings get on the board in the opening period. Kings to score a goal, first period, minus 135. That'll be my best bet for this Wednesday NHL card. That'll wrap it up. Looking forward to another night of playoff action. Looking forward to it very much. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. And if you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. And don't forget, Believe.com. That is our new home for the podcast. So make sure you check out that page, the podcast posted there each and every day. So make sure you update your bookmarks. Believe.com, the Believe Network. That is where the podcast is now. For the Ice Guys. For Alex B. Smith, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Wednesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. Doubleheader Thursday, daily show, and Patreon exclusive live betcast coming your way on Thursday right here on the Ice Guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.